Radio Prague News.
The Civic Democrats are to start talks with the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Green Party on forming a four-party coalition government. The Social Democrats have said they will decide by Monday whether they would support the four-party project with a view of early elections in 2008. And the OECD has urged the Czech Republic to take a more resolute approach to cross-border corruption. The Civic Democrats are to start talks with the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Green Party on forming a four-party coalition government with a mandate until early elections in May or June 2008. Prime Minister-designate Mirek Topolánek announced the plan after a meeting with representatives of the Greens on Thursday. Mr. Topolánek said he was going to inform President Václav Klaus on Monday about the outcome of the talks. Next week will be devoted to negotiations about the government's program. Prime Minister Topolánek also said a four-party cabinet is unlikely to be able to push through thorough reforms, and that's why he said early elections should be held in 18 months' time. The Social Democrats have said they will decide by Monday whether they would support the four-party project with a view of early elections in 2008. Party leader Jiří Paroubek said on Thursday his party still preferred a cabinet with a three-year mandate. The Christian Democrats have said they are prepared to join a cabinet of four non-communist parties which would lead the country to early elections in 2008. The Green Party, the fourth partner in the project, have also approved the plan. The coalition would have 174 votes in the 200-member lower house. The communists would be the only opposition party. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, has urged the Czech Republic to take a more resolute approach to cross-border corruption. A report the OECD released in Paris says that if it wants to meet the OECD requirements in this area, the Czech Republic has to immediately introduce legal entities' liability for corruption abroad and apply effective, adequate and deterring sanctions for it. The report has been completed by a working group that examined how the Czech Republic fulfills the OECD Convention on Combating Bribery of Foreign Public Officials in International Business Transactions. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next few days should be partly cloudy to overcast with scattered showers and daytime temperatures reaching highs of 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
Hi, this is Radio Prague and my name is Ian Willoughby. Today, the U.S. makes it easier for Czech business people to travel to America. The former Czechoslovak Federal Parliament building, now home to Radio Free Europe, is set to become part of the nearby National Museum. A new exhibition of two great Czech artists from their days as members of the Czechoslovak Legion during World War I. And later in Czech science, Prague is set to get an important new biotechnology center. Stay tuned for that. As many listeners will know, Czechs need a visa to travel to the United States. That despite many years of campaigning to be allowed to join the US visa waiver program. It's a sensitive issue for the Czech Republic and often comes up when senior Czech officials meet their American counterparts. Now, a new scheme will allow some Czech business people to travel to the US with more freedom. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
For years, Czechs have grumbled about how complicated and time-consuming it is to get a visa to the United States. The US Embassy in Prague is now taking steps to facilitate the process for what they call strong candidates. That is, people who want to travel to the States for study, business or training opportunities. Victoria Silverman is the US Embassy spokeswoman.
To aim towards visa waiver, it will take a legislative change. In Washington, I know both the Czech government and the United States are working towards that goal, but the consular section and the embassy and Ambassador Graber are committed to make this as easy, as respectful, and as transparent a process within the law as we are charged with implementing. We want to introduce step-by-step processes that essentially make it easy for people to gain the entrance documents that they need and want, particularly for study, for business, for training opportunities. Not that they travel visa-free, but the actual processing of the visa is rapid, transparent, and as easy as possible to facilitate the travel between the two countries.
A pilot project facilitating the granting of visas for student study stays, introduced at the beginning of this year, was so successful that the U.S. Embassy is now introducing a similar project for Czech businessmen and women who are members of the Czech American Chamber of Commerce. In practice, this means that such applicants do not need to register through the call center, but can do so online and will have a specific time reserved for them to come in. The granting of visas to such applicants should also be much quicker. Another problem which burdens both applicants and staff at the call center is the fact that many applicants come back to ask for a visa once again because their passport, which already has a 10-year visa, has expired. The U.S. Embassy has now suggested a possible solution.
At yesterday's bilateral working group meeting, the American ambassador did invite further discussion within the Czech government to change something that we believe, again, will assist Czech citizens that we know we see at the consular section. Allowing Czechs to keep an expired passport if they wish, and if it has a valid U.S. visa in it, they can travel to the United States with that old passport, valid visa, and a new Czech passport, showing them both to the immigration officials and gaining entry to the United States. It's significant because we believe we're seeing 19% to 20% of our visa applicants already have a 10-year visa, but because when they go to apply for a new passport, they surrender that old passport, they're going through the expense again. And of course, we're using staff time to process something again for them. So we want to make it easier.
Whether this suggestion is implemented depends on the Czech authorities, but the embassy's project facilitating travel to the United States for business people will be launched on January the 1st of 2007.
Now, many visitors to Prague will easily recall the capital's National Museum, the neo-Renaissance building that crowns the top of Wenceslas Square. Over 100 years old, it features exhibitions and boasts a massive natural history collection. But what goes on display is only a fraction of the museum's collection, and in this respect, the organization couldn't have got better news this week. It's received confirmation it will be able to use the neighbouring site that once housed Czechoslovakia's federal parliament and currently is home to Radio Free Europe. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The former building of the federal parliament has now been home to Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty for many years, but not for much longer. Construction on a new site for the radio station began last month. This week, the government gave the culture ministry jurisdiction over the site when RFE moves, and that means it will come under the wing of the neighboring National Museum. The decision couldn't come at a better time, as extensive reconstruction awaits the National Museum's 19th century interiors and infamously crumbling facades. The former parliament building, a modern glass and steel structure just across the way, will provide valuable new opportunities. The National Museum's director, Michal Lukeš.
For us, the decision was absolutely crucial, because the National Museum itself will have to undergo extensive reconstruction from 2008. We needed to know what to expect. Next year, we'll begin putting together plans for the future of the main building, built in 1891, which would prove extremely difficult to modernize in some respects. The new building, finished in the 70s, provides many new possibilities for exhibitions, a restaurant, a cafe, and a screening facility. If you add to that planned changes to Wenceslas Square, We really think it could become a major cultural site in Europe.
The changes to Wenceslas Square that Dr. Lukesh refers to are an eventual rerouting of the Magistrala highway that physically cuts off the museum and the former parliament building from the rest of the square. Dr. Lukesh then says that the National Museum's making use of both buildings will allow exhibitions to vary, depending on differences in space.
Naše taková základní koncepce je, že tu hlavní budovu, tu starou historickou, bychom využili.
The basic idea is that the main building will continue to focus on Czech history. Meanwhile, the newer building might be used to house exhibitions from our wider collection, titled Window on the World. The site, with a lot of natural light, would be excellent for displaying pieces from antiquity, for example. Basically, there can be interplay between both buildings, as well as interplay between the old and the new.
Developing the former parliament and radio station site will not come without cost, but Michal Lukesh says the building is in excellent shape, all things considered, having already undergone some reconstruction under RFE. In terms of finding room in the budget, the director says that has already been considered, given the museum was already looking for alternatives. Some 160 million crowns is being considered for the first phase of taking over the RFE building. Reconstruction on the main building of the National Museum would then be more easily completed over the next 7 years or so. It's all the more useful the fact that a solution lies only meters away.
And if you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague. František Kupka and Otto Gutfreund are two of the most important Czech artists of the first half of the 20th century. Kupka was a great painter and graphic artist, while Gutfreund is best known for his sculptures. Both men studied in Paris, and both fought for France in the First World War as members of the Czechoslovak Legions. An exhibition of their work from the period 1914 to 1918 has just opened at Prague's Kampa Museum. Among those at the launch was the director of the Military History Museum, Aleš Knížek.
Byly tři legie. Měli jsme tři legie. Vlastně jedna byla ve Francii.
We had three legions. One was in France, another was in Italy, and the biggest was in Russia. They were made up of soldiers from the Austro-Hungarian army from the Czech lands, who went over to the other side. Other members were Czechs living abroad who signed up, for example, from the Czech community in Chicago. The work done by the legions helped President Masaryk win recognition for the new Czechoslovak state in 1918.
Kupka and Gutfreund weren't the only well-known figures to pass through the Czechoslovak legions during World War I.
Otec dnešního ministra kultury Martina Štěpánka.
The actor Zdeněk Štěpánek, the father of the current culture minister Martin Štěpánek, was a member of the Legion in Russia. Another Russian legionnaire was General Medek, the first director of the Military History Institute. He was the father of Ivan and Mikuláš. František Kupka was a French legionnaire. The foundations of the post-war intellectual and political culture were created there.
Otto Gutfreund had mixed experiences during the First World War. Indeed, he spent the latter half of the war in a military prison. That was after taking part in a protest against a French government decision to categorize Czechoslovaks as enemies, because they were from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Ilona Krbcová is from the Military History Institute.
Chodil pracovat do Muničky, prostě dělal těžkou práci x kilometrů denně, takže on byl v podstatě.
He was forced to work in a munitions factory where the work was heavy. He had to walk several kilometers a day to get there. Sometimes Gutfreund is described as a deserter, but he really got in trouble for taking part in a revolt against that French ruling. Our government had to ask France to release him after the foundation of Czechoslovakia.
Kaliopi Kamonikola is the curator of the new exhibition.
Ještě před vypuknutím světové války už se u obou umělců objevily práce.
Even before the war began, both men were already mature artists. In the years just preceding the war, they had already demonstrated their modernist feeling. That's seen in the first abstract works František Kupka had shown in Paris, or Gudfreund's sculpture Anxiety. The war changed their direction. You can see here that Gudfreund's drawings are of day-to-day happenings during wartime, such as life in the trenches or carrying the wounded.
And that exhibition features around 30 drawings from each of the two artists. And it also includes three sculptures done according to designs by Gudfreund, but completed by another artist. It runs at Kampa Museum until the end of the year. And now, in the last part of our program today, it's time for Czech Science with Pavla Horáková.
The Academy of Sciences has announced that two of its institutes, the Institute of Experimental Medicine and the Institute of Molecular Genetics, are planning to open a joint biotechnology research center just outside Prague in a village called Vestec. The ambitious project is to combine their research in order to improve the diagnosis and treatment of serious diseases. The 71 million euro campus will be equipped with state-of-the-art labs and employ 400 first-rate specialists. I first spoke to Dr. Peter Szebo of the Institute of Molecular Genetics and asked him about the part of his institute in the project.
The part that we are responsible for is oriented towards molecular biotechnology. So the purpose of this project is to build up a new research capacity which will be focused on mainly on protein research, on issues related to structure and function and use of proteins, to production of recombinant proteins as therapeutics and diagnostic tools. So there will be a very strong component of cutting-edge basic research of people very much focused on molecular cellular biology and on identification of fundamental and characterization of fundamental mechanisms of how the human cells work. And there will be a very strong component of the institute of people which will be professionals in designing new expression and production strategies for interesting target therapeutic molecules, proteins, and on methods. They will be performing research on methods, how to produce these kind of recombinant proteins for therapeutics and diagnostics.
How are you hoping to find enough qualified researchers and staff in 5 years' time?
Well, we are already working hard to identify the potential leaders of the groups which will be working in the institute in 5 years' time. So we really need to start quite early. And as soon as we will have a definitive confirmation that the funding for the project will be allocated, we will open international calls for positions of group leaders in the new research centers. And I really deeply believe that already now the situation in Czech Republic is very attractive for talented, motivated young people of Czech origin and also of foreign origin. They would like to reintegrate Czech Republic and come and join this excellent center of excellence on the European level in molecular biotechnology research. So I'm very optimistic, and I think this country still has a large potential of growth. So I'm really optimistic that we are going to find the very good people to lead the new groups in the new biotech research center.
One important thing, once opened, how will the center be financed?
Well, obviously, the infrastructure, I mean the buildings, instruments, the cutting-edge technologies and instruments which are going to be implemented will be funded by the European Commission from the Structural Regional Development Funds. But the running costs, obviously, need to be covered. So the state budget of the governmental budget of the Czech Republic will only cover maybe 30-40% of these costs from the institutional side. And we are going to identify and recruit group leaders which will have a very strong potential to raise funds from on the soft side, especially from specifically designed research programs, grant programs of the Czech Republic, the so-called National Program of Research number 3, for example. And obviously a large proportion of the funding will be coming from European framework program grants, obviously, 7th framework program and 8th framework program in the future. And we also need and will generate a lot of funding through collaboration to the biotechnology industry in Czech Republic, also abroad with pharmaceutical companies abroad on the basis of so-called sponsored research agreement by selling know-how, intellectual property in the later stages, of course. And also a very strong component will be performing teaching activities in terms of training employees of biotech companies and pharmaceutical companies in our facilities and involving them in our research on the basis of contracts, of sponsored research agreement contracts and this kind of activities.
If everything is approved in Brussels, what is the timetable of the building, etc.?
So we are working hard to be able to submit the project to the European Commission by the end of 2007. Then we will enter the negotiation phase with the European Commission and the European Bank for Regional Development and Investment. So we hope to be able to conclude the negotiations somewhere in summer, early autumn 2008, and the first construction work should start end of 2000, beginning 2009, and we are hoping and striving to open the research center somewhere end of 2010, beginning 2011.
Dr. Peter Šebo of the Institute of Molecular Genetics. Professor Eva Sikova is the head of the Institute of Experimental Medicine, a European center of excellence, which is going to be the second partner in the planned biotechnology research center.
Our institute will have a new building for basic and strategic research for 200 people. We want to have it as an international research center where will be a collaboration with many other countries, because we already have many projects from 6th framework program, and we're planning the other ones from 7th framework program. We also would like to build another center there, in fact another building, which will be a business incubator and a transfer center from basic research to clinic, because we are Institute of Experimental Medicine, which means that we would like to find the products which can have an impact on treatment of patients with various diseases.
So which specific diseases will you eventually be able to treat thanks to the center?
You know, we are very much concentrating on cell therapy and biomaterials for regenerative medicine. And we have some fields which are really very advanced in our institute, and this is a replacement of cartilages, for example. And then we are quite famous in brain research. And so we would like to have procedures that we could treat a brain injury and spinal cord injury. But this is not only these two. We can, in our center, for example, we also have a skin covers for cellular skin covers for patients with burn injuries. And also there is a lot of applications in dermatology where we could use the stem cells. But we should realize that the stem cell therapy is nothing new, really, and we are already treating 1,000 of children which have leukemia with cell therapy, and cartilages, bone replacement, this is straightforward effect. We are only improving some of these technologies, but the diseases like diabetes or heart infarct and brain and spinal cord injury, they are waiting for this type of therapy.
And actually, whose idea was it to establish such a biotechnology center?
Well, this is difficult to say, because it's a lot of people would like to have a biotechnological center. There is also another one in Brno, another one in South Bohemia. But it's obvious for institute like ours, it is obvious because many institutes in Germany, for example, there is about 60 centers in Germany which are thinking in the same way. And we cannot go further if we don't have a big center where all methods are together, and where also you can do the applied research.
Professor Eva Sikova of the Institute of Experimental Medicine. And the new Biotech Research Center is set to open in 2011.
Czech Science by Pavla Horáková takes us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you'd like to comment on anything that you've heard in today's program, or if you'd like to ask us any questions, do get in touch. You can write a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send us an email. That address is english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.